Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's Movember. Time to grow those mustaches, ladies. And keep your eyes open to all the film festivals this month in Toronto. Look for Real Asian, Rendezvous with Madness, Ekran Polish Festival, Planet in Focus, and the EU Film Festival and Regent Park Film Festival, which are, those last two are completely free. This week, I'm looking at three movies about people facing impossible odds. There's a space drama about small children trying to save the universe, a biopic about a Texan trying to survive the HIV virus, and a Canadian drama about a lifeboat full of fishermen trying to find their way back home. Ender's Game, directed by Gavin Hood. It's the future. Ant-like aliens have attacked the planet. Little Ender Wiggin, played by Asa Butterfield, is a smart but bullied school kid. Like his classmates, he has a metal knob attached to his head so the military can read his mind. But when he fights back against a much bigger kid, he's suddenly pulled from school. Is he in trouble? No. He's been chosen to join an elite military academy in outer space. Ender is a smart kid. They choose him both for his analytical thoughts and assertive nature, but also for his compassion. Two military brass, Harrison Ford as hawkish warmonger Colonel Graff and Viola Davis as a compassionate psychologist Major Anderson, the two of them are closely studying Ender. They use him as a test case for the perfect soldier, possibly the one who can beat the ant people in their endless war. Only children, they believe, can absorb and apply complicated digital info fast enough to beat the bad guys. Ender is the perfect leader. He follows orders, but he also questions authority if things aren't going right. So he makes friends with his fellow child soldiers at the academy, Bean, Ally, and Petra, as they train for various battle simulations. These games are like 3D computer simulations, except they fight physically in immense arenas without gravity. They learn new strategies, play new games, fight new battles, and form new teams. And Ender's always there taking it all in, taking charge, and devising new battle plans. But he also pines for his family back on Earth, his genius parents, his sadistic older brother Peter, and his loving sister Valentine, played by Abigail Breslin. Just like the two military officers, the brother and sister are fighting to influence Ender towards either cruelty or compassion. Which one influenced him the most? Can the Earthlings ever defeat the Ant People? Will Ender provide the solution? And in the process, will he end up turning into a baby Hitler or a mini Gandhi? The movie's based on the popular Cold War science fiction novel. It's pretty close to the original. I've read the book, so it was pretty fun to actually see it all on the big screen, and it handles the good versus bad and all its permutations well. Peter versus Valentine, Colonel Graff versus Major Anderson, Earthlings versus formic beings. Asa Butterfield is good, though a bit wooden or robot feeling, but I think that suits the role. It's an enjoyable sci-fi pick with an unexpected ending. It's not a perfect movie, but it's still smarter than most. It's also darker than a Star Wars or Star Trek, and not a straightforward feel-good superhero movie. A bit more than that. Dallas Buyers Club, directed by Jean-Marc Vallée. It's 1985. Ron's a rootin' tootin' redneck in a cowboy hat. He's an electrician at the oil fields, and in his spare time, he picks up girls, snorts coke, guzzles alcohol straight from the Mickey, and goes to strip bars. His hobby? The rodeo. He loves to ride bulls. Bareback. Anyway, Ron, played by Matthew McConaughey, is also prone to fainting and hallucinating, and he's looking rather thin these days. So while he's in the hospital, he meets Rayon, played by Jared Leto, a trans woman in the next bed. It's hate at first sight. Homophobic Ron calls her Pansy, Buttercup, Tinkerbell, and that's when he's being nice. When they test his blood, it turns out he's HIV positive. His T cell count is down to 8 and he has 30 days left to live. The FDA refuses to release experimental drugs, even though AIDS patients are dropping like flies. They're testing AZT, but only as double-blind tests, with placebos going to half the patients at risk getting OD'd on AZT. Basically, Ron is dead. But then an orderly at the hospital tells him about a doc down Mexico way who can get him what he needs. Sure enough, he doesn't die. He starts smuggling the meds, the vitamins, and the dietary supplements across the border back to Texas. And Rayon, his erstwhile nemesis, becomes his business partner. The two of them set up a quasi-legal center, that's the Dallas Buyers Club of the title, where members can get access to treatment the mainstream medical profession is denying them. With the help of a sympathetic doctor, played by Jennifer Garner, channeling Julia Roberts and Aaron Brockovich, that's what she looks like, they just might beat the system that's trying to shut them down. But can they fight their own illness too? This biopic works well as a drama. It's moving, good story, good acting. This is Quebec director Jean-Marc Vallée's first English language film, and he totally pulls it off. You might remember Crazy, which is a huge hit in Canada a few years ago. Matt McConaughey lost tons of weight for his role, and Jared Leto dressed up as a woman. I don't know, maybe I'm being totally cynical, but I just get the nagging suspicion that they're out there performing big so they can win some Oscars, and that's the main reason they chose the role. In any case, they're both good and convincing, and Steve Zahn, as Ron's buddy, a local cop, is terrific as usual. The Disappeared, directed by Shandy Mitchell. Ever been to sea, Billy?
No, Captain Highliner.
Well, these guys sure have. There are 6 of them drifting around in a lifeboat in the Atlantic, somewhere off Nova Scotia. There's the skipper, played by Brian Downey, a God-fearing type. And then there are the various sailors, played by Billy Campbell, Ryan Doucette, and the rest. There's the mean sailor, the young sailor, the experienced sailor, the bearded sailor, the other bearded sailor. You can tell their names because they do a roll call every morning to see if they're all still alive.
Manny here.
Pete here.
Merv here.
Okay, so when they're not rowing the boats, heave-ho to somewhere, they're singing ribald sea shanties, eating their rations, whittling wood, drinking rum, you know, behaving like sailors do. Will they spot land? Will they get rescued? Or will they be like the Flying Dutchman, forever floating on the seven seas? So have you noticed there are a lot of movies about men in boats recently? Book of Pi, Kon-Tiki, All is Lost, Captain Phillips, La Pirogue. Well, this is another one. Some of these are great adventure. This one is not. It's more of a character study. I like all the Atlantic Canada folklore, but the story didn't exactly grab me. I get the impression that the sailors in The Disappeared are all waiting for some ship called the SS Godot to arrive. But in the meantime, they'll sing a few more sea shanties and then call it a day. The Disappeared, Ender's Game, and Dallas Buyers Club all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. Also opening is the so-called comedy Last Vegas, a real groaner about 4 retired guys, starring great actors Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, Calvin Klein, who are meeting up in Las Vegas for a final wild bachelor party before Michael Douglas marries a beautiful young woman. She's not that young. She's 35, he says. I have hemorrhoids older than 35, says a Kevin Klein character. Ugh, enough said about this geriatric version of The Hangover. Ooh. This is Daniel Garber with the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.